Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net. And RebelScum.com.
You rebel scum. The galaxy is listening.
Who need that? No, no, no. Oh, Lawa. Who need
that? Welcome to the ForceCast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
I got a corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now, your hosts of the ForceCast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored.
Just trying to make sure we have all our ducks in a row this week.
We'll get to ducks later.
Nope.
That's right, we will, won't we?
Not often that you can tie that expression into the show.
That's right. I jump on those experiences.
Well, welcome to the ForceCast. This week's episode for October 12, 2007. We are the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. Happy to be so. Happy to be with you. My name is Jason, and with me, as always, my best buddy in the whole wide galaxy. You know him as Pete.
Actually, everybody else knows him as Pete, too, which is kind of scary. It's a combining of two worlds.
Well, some may know you as Macquarie Han Solo.
Well, yes. Well,
which we've been,
I may try and do that for Halloween. You never know.
It's not going to take much.
No, it wouldn't.
It's a very cheap costume.
Yes. Yeah. Except for I think he has a better beard than I do, which is it's kind of pathetic that a plastic action figure does. But, hey, what are you going to do?
Don't you use, like, coffee grounds?
I do. I every once in a while I'll color it in with a pencil.
I was thinking, you know, like everybody was once the hobo for how, you know, for
right.
Halloween.
Yeah.
Well, before it was politically incorrect, of course, to
right.
Be a hobo. And so you would use, like, the coffee. We always did, like, you know, growing up, like the coffee grounds.
Yeah.
I don't know. Made for a good 5 o'clock shadow, I guess. Anyway. Well, it is getting to be Halloween time anyway.
It is.
It's closing in. Well, we've got a jam-packed show for you this week. Not a lot of news, really, but we've got some great audio sent in by Jimmy Mack. If you haven't had a chance to listen to his amazing microcast that he's dropped over the last couple of weeks, the Anthony Daniels in the Cantina, also with Billy D.
Oh, my.
A half hour with Billy D.
I have to give him a lot of credit because he would have thought that, you know, Jimmy does a great professional interview with him, and it's a lot of fun. And I would have just been standing there going, you know, and he would have been like, what is this moron doing? But Jimmy actually did a fantastic job. And actually,
Billy D would have probably said something like this. Oh, I'm sorry. See, I interrupted you, but no problem.
Oh, my God.
He would have actually just, here you go.
You got a real problem.
That's what I was.
That would have been it.
But the moment is past.
The moment is past. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. And Billy D actually drops an absolutely, which was absolutely outstanding.
Oh, we have to get that as a drop.
Yeah,
our own.
Oh, I'm already on it.
Because I want to go see.
Everybody does.
Well, and Jimmy also dropped a microcast with C. Andrew Nelson, a veteran of Lucasfilm and LucasArts, and that just came out today as we record the show live on TalkShoe. Speaking of TalkShoe, if you are joining us live via TalkShoe.com, you can phone us up at 724-444-7444. TalkCast ID is 46670. So you don't need to wait till the end of the show. If you've got something to say, and it's somewhat relevant to what we're talking about, just jump in any time.
Right.
But anyway, so things with TalkShoe are going well. We're enjoying doing this on Wednesdays. Despite being in the throes of the new fall television season, the fact that we've got a good crowd here every week is really cool. So we appreciate that. We also appreciate those of you who are downloading the show via TheForce.net or RebelScum.com. And, of course, you can find us on iTunes. And I do want to caution people that have maybe subscribed to us via iTunes through the ForceCast Live feed from TalkShoe. And you're not really doing yourself any favors. The quality of that recording is just not really all that great. You definitely want to just download the regular show through iTunes, ForceCast, not ForceCast Live. Because I think we still are under both titles.
I think we are, but I think if you're clicking on the first one, that is usually the regular feed, and you should be fine there. So
good. All right. Well, we might as well get into it. We've got you know what? Let's say thank you to our sponsors. They are the ones that make this all possible. Official Picks. You know them. You love them. They're the official autograph vendor for Celebrations, 3 and 4. 2, maybe?
I don't know.
I think so.
Were they 2?
Was it there? Anyway, and if you got the latest issue of Star Wars Insider Magazine, you'll notice on the inside back cover, there's a beautiful ad for Official Picks, and it shows that not only do they have officially licensed autographs and photographs from the Star Wars saga, but also the Indiana Jones saga as well. Now, this is something that I haven't seen on the website. Again, at officialpicks.com, that's picks with an X.com, but I'm assuming that this is something that will be announced shortly if it hasn't already been. I don't remember them announcing
it. I think we would have gotten it.
I think we would.
You know, there are official sponsors, so I think they would have let us know. But
right.
It's that's big. That's huge.
Yeah, it is. It is. I was just saying to Pete before the show started, I wonder if we're going to get an IndieCon. This is maybe IndieCon in Indy? But they're going to the convention center in Indy is going through all kinds of changes. You know, that time
of life. Yes. It's a midlife crisis. They bought a Corvette.
But anyway, so thank you to Official Picks. Happy birthday, Big Boss Nasiana. 70 years young today, or yesterday. Brian Blessed, you know him, you love him as Big Boss Nass. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
That guy. So, Boss Nass, Brian Blessed, happy birthday. All the best to you. We should hear it one more time. Just to say, I'm not a total dunce when it comes to playing these sounds. You just hear Jimmy.
What was that cantina music I heard?
But anyway, so we'll have more from Jimmy Mack later. We have an interview that, I mean, everything that he's been through from, you know, his hour-long sit-down with Anthony Daniels, his half-hour-long chat with Billy Dee, being in the same city as George Lucas and all the, you know, kind of shuffling him around the buzz. And a couple of different conventions. He's hanging out with Dan Madsen, former Star Wars Fan Club president, and Chris Mock, or The Force Among Us. He's hanging out with all these people in Chicago. It's like Chicago became the center of the Star Wars universe for a time. And, well, it always is because Jimmy's there.
Yeah, well,
but
goes without saying.
Right. So now, Pete, you wanted to say...
Yeah, I do have to give a shout-out. We usually don't really... give shout-outs on here just because there's so many people that we love to thank. But what I have to give this is a special one because it comes from family. Now, I got a phone call the other day from my niece, who is in the Canton City Schools. She's in the Arts Academy. And she said that she had a teacher who was a big fan. And you know, whenever anybody says, hey, I'm a big Star Wars fan, you know, you think, well, do they know about our show?
You know, like that's the test,
right? That's the litmus test that I use. And, you know, of course I was thinking, okay, this is my niece. She's trying to kiss up to her teacher. She's like, hey, my uncle's a Star Wars fan.
Right.
And so she said, he'd love a shirt. And I said, well, that's great. I think I've got an extra one. I could probably get one. She said, he's a huge Star Wars fan. I said, oh yeah. And she goes, does he know about our show? And she said, oh, yeah, he listens every Friday. And at that point, I went, aha, this is actually a fan because she has no idea what day we put it out. She probably doesn't even know what a podcast is, despite the fact that I've tried to explain it to her.
Oh, how old is she?
She's
What was that?
I believe she's not.
This is your sister's child, man.
I am the most horrible uncle in the world.
Ever. Oh my God, you knew it was Brian Blessed's birthday, but you don't know how.
Yeah,
how
I'm
going to
get in a lot of trouble for that. I believe
now
not.
You know your teacher is her teacher,
yes,
is listening.
Yes, exactly. So please don't mention that, Mr. Dean. And I want to say thank you very much to Mr. Dean for listening and for sharing with his class the fact that he does listen to us and
his love of
fan and he joins a great fraternity of teachers and professors that we have in our listening annals. I mean,
well,
there's
yeah.
a lot of people out there who are a great asset to the teaching community, and they're fans of our shows, which is very, very humbling.
We
and,
do have a number of teachers that listen to the show, so
it's very cool. But I did want to give a special shout out to Mr. Dean, and anything he can do to help Morgan's grade along a little bit would be fantastic.
Well, at least you know her name.
Yeah, this is quite possibly one of the worst performances I've had as a family member. So,
well, yes, and thank you, Mr. Dean, for listening. And
yes.
He's had a lot to drink tonight.
It's a long week so far.
Anyway, we were talking earlier about Jimmy Mack and the microcast that he's dropped in the cantina, and the reaction to both of these, particularly to Anthony Daniels, and I think because of the length. And because despite having read and listened to a number of interviews that Anthony Daniels has given over the years, I mean, he is probably one of the most outspoken, kind of out there Star Wars celebrities. And you think, well, I've heard it all. I'm not going to learn anything new. But Jimmy Mack, sure enough, does get some, pulls out some real gems. It's just a great interview. But here's an outtake from the interview with Anthony Daniels, Jimmy Mack and Anthony.
Where are you going to be there?
All right.
Okay. And this is this live or recorded?
This is recorded.
Okay.
This will be for a podcast for theforce.net.
Right. I like Force. I said, explaining what a podcast was, because I've never been quite sure. And I like theforce.net. I think it's the only link I have on my website, because there's so many websites. So, there we go.
This is true. And, of course, you have a good website, which I was checking out last night.
Huh. Thank
There's a lot
much.
Of good stuff on it. I like how you're going after the autograph forgeries.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a problem you have to deal with a lot? Or
I don't have to deal with it. It doesn't personally affect me. I just think it's wrong.
Right.
It doesn't affect me in the least.
Yeah. Oh. Just go ahead and pull that right up.
All right. I just think it's bad that people get ripped off in that way.
Well, there you go. A little inside the studio.
That's how it goes.
Inside the podcaster's studio. With Jimmy Mack and Anthony Daniels. Do you hear that? TheForce.net.
Yeah.
The
well, and you can link through AnthonyDaniels.com.
Right.
Is it .com?
Dot
or
com.
Yeah, AnthonyDaniels.com.
Right.
To TheForce.net. And you never know. You might want to check out his website every once in a while, because as he said in the interview, he got in trouble for revealing some information about the Clone Wars TV series. So you never know what might be dropping on there.
Right.
So you probably got to put that one on there just to hop on there every once in a while and just check out what's going on over there with Anthony.
Well, and we also have a little bit, and we'll have more with Jimmy Mack later, like I said, at the top of the show. But we do have this. This is from Jedi Schwa. It's which one is this? This is the 100th show fan montage, we're calling it this.
And this is actually a Darth Fagan production.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Well, that's okay.
I should be tarred and feathered.
And Darth Vader, go track.
Yeah, there you go. This was, I guess, sent to Jimmy. There's a note here we have that even though Darth Vader is absent from this montage, it is from Darth Vader. So forgive me there, Darth Vader. Here it is. And this kind of commemorates, I guess, our 100th show. We have never tracked the number of shows. We a lot of podcasts.
We have people for that.
Well, yes. I mean, we've always gone by date. I mean, there are a number of podcasts out there. They're always like, show number 92 or whatever. And gosh, I just never wanted to do that. This show is about the week Star Wars news. It's not about what number show we are. But we do have listeners that have kept track, and we appreciate that. And it's kind of cool to look back like, wow. 100 shows?
100 shows. That's amazing.
That is. In a year. In 1 year. A lot of podcasts, they got to do 2 years before they get 100 shows. So, if they ever get to 100 shows. But anyway, here it is. Thanks to Darth Fagan and Jimmy Mack for mixing this down.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
I made a lot of special modifications myself.
Hey, Jason, Pete, and of course the great Jimmy Mack. This is Matt, occasional contributor and cheeky on the forums. Wow, 100 episodes. You know, that's no small accomplishment. I bet not even the great Night Ship will last that long, although we hope that it does. You know, I was thinking about it. Here's a little bit of perspective with how many episodes you've done. You have surpassed Alan Greenspan's age, my IQ, and the number of times that you can fold the same piece of paper. You know, though, in all seriousness, you guys do an incredible job. I've been involved with radio for about 6 years now, and you sound better than a lot of radio show hosts that I've heard on local radio. So here's to you, Jason, Pete, and Jimmy. Here's to the next 100 episodes and hundreds more after that.
Hey, Jason and Pete, this is LT from Denmark, and I wanted to congratulate you both on your 100th Forcecast episode. And thank you for the many weeks of Star Wars news, bad impressions, Billy the Eclipse, C4 coverage, EU characters of the week, collecting, and much, much more. Also, a big thanks goes to the people who work behind the scenes to make this show possible each week. Keep up the good work, and I'm looking forward to 100 episodes more.
Here they come!
G'day, Jason, Pete, and the Forcecast team. This is Shane, or Jay Jedi from Australia. I just wanted to say congrats on your 100th show. You guys do a fantastic job each week, and I look forward to hearing many more from you in the future.
Hey guys, Kramer here. Congratulations, 100 episodes. Wow, it's outrageous. I mean, it's unthinkable. Doesn't feel like 100 episodes. The Megacast felt like 100 episodes, but congratulations. I wish you all the best. Good luck in the future, and here's to 100 more.
Hey, this is Johnny Nick, and I just wanted to congratulate you guys on your 100th episode. I'm feeling this is only the beginning of a long legacy for you guys in the podcasting business, and I hope to see you guys at C5.
Hello, Pete, Jason. This is Jorvix, saying hi from Mexico City. 100 episodes, huh? That's a very impressive number, you know. Still, you've got to admit, if you compare it with, oh, I don't know, the 900 years a certain Jedi Master was reported to have lived, or maybe the 1,000 generations that the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the galaxy? Well, let's just say you've got a lot to live up to. I wish I could say I've been here since the beginning, but let me tell you, I'm here till the end. May the Force be with you guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Force.net podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jedi Swank, and with me,
as always, is Master Natal.
This episode for September 22nd, 2006.
This show for October 27th, 2006.
This week's show for November 17th, 2006. For this week's show, December 8th, 2006. This week's episode for January 19th, 2007. February 3rd, 2007. Week of March 9th, 2007. For the week of April 20th, 2007. This week's episode for May 11th, 2007.
The June 22nd episode of the Forcecast.
This week's episode is for July 13th, 2007. This week's episode for August 31st, 2007. This week's episode for September 14th. Is that where we are? We are at September 14th, 2007.
When 900 years old you reach, look as good you are not.
I don't know about that, Yoda, but how about the Forcecast's 100th episode? Can you believe these guys are still on the air?
Unexpected, this is.
Don't listen to him, guys. He's just cranky. Congratulations on reaching your 100th episode. I know I can speak for all your listeners when I say, here's to 100 more.
Wow. That is so great.
Cool. My gosh. That was the first time that Pete and I had actually heard this. Jimmy sent it to us, and what a nice surprise.
Oh, my gosh. So I want to thank Darth Fagan. again, although he was not, I believe, in the reel, he had a lot to do with it. And the last voice that you heard was Eric, and he didn't identify himself.
Thank you all. I mean, that was just really great.
That was.
You know, it was a very humbling day for me because, you know, I got the story about Mr. Dean and, you know, he kind of being a celebrity. And it really makes me feel good that you guys enjoy it and that we have so much fun doing it and that everybody can be a part of it. So
yes.
And I want to apologize again.
giving credit to Jedi Schwa for Darth Vegan. But the reason I did, my eyes sometimes play tricks on me. I'm looking kind of far away at one of the monitors that we use here. And this, what we have is from Jedi Schwa, which is his top 10 list. So we wanted to, well, you know what? Let's wait on that.
All right, we'll wait on that.
Let's spread the wealth.
Yeah, we'll spread it on.
So coming up later in the show is from Jedi Schwa, his top 10 list. But don't let us forget.
All right.
Yeah. So, also wanted to thank Matt Pelishek. I am not doing well with names tonight. Did you notice this?
I am not
doing well with names. Matt Pelishek.
Names, ages. We're not accountable for such things.
He heard the call that we needed some mood music. Some music to set the mood for what we're about to talk about, which is the fate of Toussaint. Yes.
Maybe.
Oh. The fate of Toussaint. When last we left Toussaint. He had a brain aneurysm, and he didn't know if he was going to live. A week later, and after he talked to Jimmy Mack, I don't know if the two are related at all, we found out that he indeed did live.
I was sweating for a moment.
So he will be back next season. Now, there's a little bit of debate about that. I thought that it was going to come back next summer, as you know, when they run the shows in the summer.
Right.
But according to Jim, they're going to be shooting this fall. So I would guess maybe like a January start for new episodes of Night Shift. But, you know, it was, no matter what happens with the show, we just can't, you know, thank it enough that it was sort of the impetus for the Billy D clip of the week.
Yes.
I mean, because it really was, you know, it was lines like,
maybe your clown needs a friend.
And things like that just made us say, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in these here really poorly written scripts, only read by the very capable Billy D. Williams.
Usually about an hour beforehand.
Most assuredly. So paying our respects to the first season of Night Shift, we have this little montage of the best of the Billy D. clip of the week.
This is Billy D. Williams, Lando Calrissian. It's time for the quote of the week.
Maybe your clown needs a friend.
The words should go through your brain before they go through your mouth.
Well, I'm not an oracle, but I'm going to make a prediction.
With that much metal in my head, you think I can pick up satellite radio?
I never could get to sleep before sunrise.
Courage, my young brother.
I was going to have kids in my life, but there's none as far as I know.
Oh, when the saints go marching in, you got a real problem.
Oh, that's good stuff. What a wonderful season. Oh, man. So congratulations to Billy D. Williams and the whole cast of Night Shift. They've got a hit on their hands. They've got a hit. It's it brought in some great numbers for SoapNet. So hopefully we'll get another season of wisdom from Billy D. as he plays Toussaint. Now, getting to this week and the Billy D. clip of the week, and the fact that, again, when we left Toussaint last week, we weren't sure what was going to happen to him. We find out that he did live, and here it is.
Where did he go?
Mr. Dubois? Mr. Dubois? Are you awake? You're in the hospital.
Where did he go?
Who?
Me.
Okay, I need you to look at me. What's your name?
Toussaint Dubois. I'm a singer.
Yes, you are.
I was getting kind of misty there. Right?
That was a tough moment.
Some vulnerability. And you don't really, you know, think of Billy Dee as being vulnerable.
That's right.
He was in that moment.
You've seen Lady Sings the Blues? He's never vulnerable.
I have. You know what? And I'm actually a big Billie Holiday fan. I've never seen that movie.
No. Wow.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's terrible. I need to see that. But thank you to Jimmy, and thank you to Billy Dee. I got to hear this again. I can't get enough of this one.
This is Billy Dee Williams, Lando Calrissian. It's time for the quote of the week.
Oh, that doesn't see. And
we got to clear that up for the listeners. That's not Pete.
That's really
that is
Billy
the
Dee.
Real Billy Dee.
So I mean, and thank you to Billy Dee for doing that. And we have nothing through all of our joking around, nothing but the most profound respect, love, admiration. For Mr. Williams and his ability to laugh at himself and laugh with others laughing at him and or laughing with him. And anyway, just very cool that he was able to do that for us. And he was making some headlines in Chicago. There was some interesting that Stella Foster wrote in her column, the Chicago Sun-Times, that actor and premier artist Billy Dee Williams dined on sushi with friends at the China Grill Friday and had lunch at Gibson's on Rush. Jimmy chimes in with great and famous steakhouse. She goes on to say the 70-year-old Williams of Star Wars and Lady Sings the Blues fame is still said to be, quote, gorgeous and charming. And yes, he is. I've been up close. and yes, he is. So that was very, 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 very cool. So thanks again to Jimmy and Billy Dee. I wanted to give a quick shout-out here to our good friend Michael Hyken. He is the public relations officer for the Kentucky Star Wars Collectors Club. He wanted to let us know that on October 20th, they will be celebrating 4 years with their annual fall festival. And he was actually asking if we had some Force Cash swag. And unfortunately, we do not. we don't. It's
the coffers are empty, unfortunately.
C4 wiped us out. And then we were all taking up collections for Mike Barrick, because he wasn't able to go to C4, and he was diligently posting things for us, and that just it wiped us out.
Yeah.
So you're going to mention if I screw up names again, aren't you?
I will, eventually.
Okay. Oh, all right.
We'll just do a wrap-up of the show.
I have no confidence.
Here are the 13 names that Jason screwed up during the show tonight.
Right, right. And Eric, who is a faithful listener and always joining us in the Talk Show chat and listening live, at the end of last week's show, he had mentioned that he found a YouTube clip of a Rube Goldberg device. And I've always been kind of fascinated with those. It was very cool. It was a great X-Files episode about the whole concept of the Rube Goldberg thing. And anyway, he sent it's a YouTube clip. He sent the link, and I told him I would get it on the show notes. I, of course, lied. Did not get it on the show notes, but it'll get on this week. I watched the clip, and it's very, very cool.
Yeah,
it's very, very cool. And basically, that it starts off with a little marble, and there are Star Wars action figures along the way, and some dominoes. I mean, what would a Rube Goldberg machine be without dominoes? And finally, it leads to hitting the play button on the DVD, and you see the final duel in Return of the Jedi. So it's very, very cool. And then at the end, there's this guy lip-syncing to Duel of the Fates. And if you've ever wondered what the lyrics to Duel of the Fates is, we know what it is. It's corn on the cob, corn on the kebab.
Yes.
And you just listen to it again if you think that we're wrong about that.
Yeah. And that was actually the Jawas actually included that on the end clip of our last week's clip that they had.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Oh,
and, hilarious! Absolutely hilarious.
I haven't watched that one yet.
And it did it in the here's the lyrics kind of thing at the bottom.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
cool.
Kind of the
very
old
cool
follow along type of thing. So it was great. It was very funny. And
well, if you haven't seen the Jawa videos, I can't tell you just how great they are. I didn't see last week's one that Pete was mentioning. But if you go over to YouTube and do a search for The Force Net, you'll find just a bunch of great stuff there.
Yeah.
our stuff from Celebration 4 and then the Jawa videos are just outstanding. Home run every week. Always funny. And gosh, that must take an unbelievable amount of time. Yeah. We kind of know we do this, but that just... So they go above and beyond the call of duty, so thank you to them. If you were like me, and you need a second chance to catch the Star Wars Family Guy episode, it's going to be coming on this Sunday, October 14th, at 10:30. Adult Swim is going to be re-airing both the Robot Chicken Star Wars special and the Family Guy Star Wars episode back-to-back. So make sure that you set the DVRs, the VCRs, or whatever you have. Who sent us that email, Pete? Do you know?
That was actually sent in by...
should we play some music?
Yeah,
we'll play this again.
Play some music.
This is Billy D. Williams, Lando Calrissian. It's time for the quote of the week.
That's just so cool.
But apparently not long enough, as I was unable to find.
Well, anyway, you know who you are. We want to thank you.
We'll make mention next week in our correction episode, which may actually be longer than a regular episode.
We're off to a great start.
We are.
Headlines are next.
Exactly.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news. Come closer, I have good news.
Ah, the best laid plans. I mean, what part of... All right, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to build, like, darn near a life-size X-Wing. We're going to use, like, helicopter engines, but it's going to be a rocket. What part of that was a bad idea? I mean, it's a good idea, but it ended kind of badly.
Well, it did.
We covered it last week.
And you'll have to check out the show notes for the actual video of the flight of the X-Wing, and actually an accompanying story of the flight of the Y-Wing, which was actually run along with the X-Wing. It was kind of a competition to see which one would go... would fly better, and my assertion that I had a bad idea or I had a bad feeling about it was completely true.
Yeah, in planes.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it went down like
in the movie.
Like Porkins, man. They were out. They checked out, man. It was over. I'm glad nobody was piloting that thing because it went down.
Well, there was an R2 unit that was lost.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. You know, and it was funny because, you know, they did have the parachute recovery technology so they could have like the actual one piece of it that didn't explode. You know, it was the one thing.
Hopefully it was the black box.
You know, they did a great job of putting them together and having everything there, and the rockets were perfect, but it went faster than I think they expected it to.
And all the parts broke off as like the wind resistance started to build up.
It was,
but for us, you know, for a few seconds, it was,
yeah, it was
masterful. There.
And the same thing with the Y-Wing, it was going, and it actually went a little bit further than the X-Wing, but then all of a sudden the pod, you know, the cockpit ejected for no apparent reason.
He's like, I'm out of here.
It's like, I know where this is headed, and then it just exploded.
Man,
it was certainly entertaining to watch. You know, I feel bad because I'm sure it was months and months worth of work.
Oh, sure. But they had to know.
But,
well, yeah, I mean, they weren't going to recover that thing in one thing.
You know, this isn't Apollo 13. This doesn't have a happy ending. I'm sorry.
This just goes down in flames.
Well, the thing was huge. What was it? 21 feet long.
21 feet long. 19. This is the X-Wing now. 19-foot wingspan. 4 Class M rocket engines on the wings. And, you know, it looked so much like the film.
Yeah, it was a perfect replica. I mean, the detail was extraordinary, but you know,
there's a reason that they don't have real X-Wings, and it's because the aerodynamics and the technology isn't quite there.
Well, what are you gonna do?
So, well, you blow it up. That's what you do.
Yeah, I guess. Well, anyway, sorry about that. That's rough. It's real rough. And the Y-Wing, you said, just went a little bit further?
A little bit further. Same result.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they recovered even less pieces. Actually, I have to say that the best part of it was that, you know, they launch it and everybody's going, yeah, yeah, and it explodes. And about 30 seconds later, somebody goes, heads up, and a piece of it just crashes to the ground. Like, need a little more warning than that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it was very impressive, so it's worth checking out the video.
Yeah.
Hey, do you remember Will Wheaton?
I do.
From Star Trek? Wait, what?
Star Trek?
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
I remember he was the sensitive lad from Stand By Me.
There you go. Also, wasn't he in Sequest too?
No.
Who was that?
That was...
Anyway, move on.
What, Sequest? No, hell no, it's coming to me. He passed away now.
The young boy.
No.
Jonathan Brandis
was on Sequest.
Yes.
And he's passed away. That was a shame.
That's too
sad. He was too young to go. Anyway, getting back to happier things, Will Wheaton is still alive and he's with us. Actor, blogger, and author. He sat down with Boing Boing TV and talked about his love of all things geeky. This was according to the official StarWars.com blog. He's got a book out, his latest book out, apparently, is The Happiest Days of Our Lives, and he talks about Star Wars action figures in a chapter called Blue Light Special. According to Wheaton, he says, it's a story about going to Kmart with my mom when I was 8 or 9. I was very, very young. My mom took my sister to the cosmetics department, and my brother and I got to go to the toy department. Back then, I remember staring at this infinite wall of action figures. And this particular story is the dilemma I think a lot of us had when we were that age. Should I save my money for something really cool, like the Millennium Falcon, or should I buy something right now because I could have it? And the story is about how I'm not able to make a smart choice and save my money, and I end up getting something that I really regret. So I remember those days.
Yeah.
I remember Children's Palace.
Mm-hmm. I remember that as well.
And the huge, they had a whole aisle. And if, in fact, I remember in ours, had one whole aisle, and then the other side, part of the other, the aisle across from, had a part. It was all Star Wars stuff. I mean, the micro collection up there on the shelves, of course, all the action figures on the pegs and vehicles and everything. Just brings back so many memories. So that just kind of struck me when I read that I remember sitting now. I've got $4. Can I buy an action figure, or should I wait? Next month I'll have $8 or whatever, and I could buy, this smaller vehicle or whatever. But anyway, I read a lot of blogs, and Will Wheaton's was one that I read a lot. And then he started blogging for another site, and I kind of lost track of him. But I emailed him one time, hoping that we could get him on the Forcecast, because he's a big fan of sci-fi and big Star Wars fan, and of course was a cast member on Star Trek The Next Generation, obviously, but still a big Star Wars fan, and I thought it'd be fun to talk to him, and I got no response.
None.
Apparently he does not know who we are. He needs to talk to your niece's teacher, who will tell him a thing or two about who we
are. That's right.
But anyway, so check it out. We'll have the link on our show notes to that.
100 episodes. Did Voyager make it to 100 episodes?
He was on Next Generation, and it...
Oh.
Yeah, it made it well past that.
Well, I don't think he made it well past that. Jerk.
Hey, we had a few things to say about Ewan McGregor once upon a time.
We did.
A couple of times now.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't take kindly to his assertion that the Star Wars prequels were subpar as far as, the rest of his resume is concerned. And to prove it, we went film by film on his resume at courtesy of IMDb. And, we played a little game. Better than Star Wars, worse than Star Wars. And pretty much they were all worse than Star Wars. Now, we might be a little biased here, the Forcecast.
You think?
Right.
Yeah. But still.
Right. I mean, I love Ewan. Don't get me wrong. I mean, love him in the movie.
Great actor, but...
there was that story about he was at a hospital and mentioned to some kid's dad that, he was disappointed in the Star Wars films. Well, it got back to one of his co-stars, and not just any co-star, but Samuel L. Jackson, who's one bad... Well, the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually asked about Ewan's comments, and he said, hey... Well, he didn't say, hey, that's me. He said, quote, I'm sorry Ewan feels that way. I always loved those movies. I always wanted to be in one. So there you go.
And he was. And you know, there's you know, he doesn't say it's the greatest work that he's done ever done. He doesn't say it's the worst work he's ever done. He just says, "Hey, it was a great movie. I had a lot of fun doing it. I always wanted to be in one, and I got my wish."
Yeah, he's made no bones about it. I mean, he lobbied for that gig,
right? And Samuel L. Jackson has been in a lot of movies. And, you know, I don't know if Mace Windu was his best work, but I'm not going to sit here and dig on The Man or, you know, any of the other films that he's done because, hey, he's not going
snakes
out there
on the
and
plane.
Say, he's not going out there, yeah, Snakes on the Plane. He's not going out there and saying they were better than Star Wars. You know, I'm sure he has a place in his heart for all these movies. And,
well, you know what
that's
I love
all we're
about
looking
Sam
for.
Jackson? I gotta tell you, the guy's work ethic.
Yeah.
I was a theater major in college, and you know, there's that certain breed of theater major in thespian where they think they're, you know, what they do is sort of above, you know, typical work or what have you. And then there's that thespian who, it's a job, man. It's a job. It's putting, you know, food on the table. And I remember seeing an interview with, I think it might have been Inside the Actor's Studio, where Sam Jackson said he was always auditioning for a play, rehearsing a play, and performing in a play. And he's kept that same work ethic in these movies. And you say, well, you know, he does any movie that comes along. I don't think so. But at the same time, you know what? If it remotely interests him, hey, I'll do it. It's work.
Yeah.
And he's got a reputation of being stellar. When he shines, he really shines. And a lot of times you'll say, yeah, I'll rent that because it's got Sam Jackson in it. At least he's cool.
Yeah. I actually did watch more than I'd like to say of The Man because Sam Jackson was in it. And I have to say that one of my favorite guilty pleasures is the remake of Shaft where he plays Shaft because I just love.
Who else could do it?
Yeah. I mean, he's a bad shut your mouth.
Right. So I thought that was great. That he kind of responded to. And that's according to contactmusic.com. We had the story, of course, on theforce.net that he had a thing or two or three or four to say about Ewan's comments.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, if I'm picking a Jedi to go to battle with, Mace Windu is my guy.
Really?
As much as I like Obi-Wan and his sageness and his old hermit advice and his wiseness.
Well, anyway, wait. Now there's the Guinness Obi-Wan and there's the Ewan Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
I can't really blame you if you're telling me we're picking between old,
all right, well,
crusty Obi-Wan and virile young Mace Windu.
Well, and virile Mace young Mace Windu, whatever. Yeah. Whatever you said. We didn't get to see him as the crusty old, you know,
right.
Wise.
He didn't live that long.
Wise Maverick,
right?
So and you know, I maintain to this day, he had Palpatine beat hands down. And if Anakin doesn't show up and butt his head in there,
what have I done?
Yes, exactly.
I don't know. You tell me.
So.
All right. So what you're telling me is you're going into battle. You can take one Jedi with you. It's Mace.
Oh yeah, it's Sam Jackson.
You know, I've never.
I mean, and I've always
that.
Been a huge Luke fan. I've always been
no CC
huge,
10.
Well, no, Ayla Secura maybe. You know, just
I hear according to that Atlas, CC 10 is the best. So no debating about it.
Well,
the Atlas says that he's the best.
Always open for debate, my friend. Even if the Atlas says it.
You know, I got an email from Kyle Newman. He sent that link that was on the TFN, and it was from StarWars.com about the Atlas unveiled or whatever. And, you know, I think we're going to get an opportunity to interview the fellow that put the Atlas together. And I'm going to feel really bad because I've dogged on it like it's a bad book. And it's not. I'm sure it's a stellar, fantastic book. My whole point has been throughout all of this, and I know I've gotten some emails about Jason hates the EU, and Jason doesn't hate the EU. Jason just wants the EU to be put in perspective. And the thing that I've always loved about the Star Wars films is that they lend themselves to debate, discussion. But, hey, guess what? Here comes the EU, and it's going to answer all those pesky questions for you. So no need to debate them anymore. Don't have fun and talk about them, because I got this book that this guy wrote that he was writing the back of cereal boxes before he wrote the Star Wars. And guess what? He says that, you know, so-and-so is the most powerful Jedi ever, so it must be true.
Well, we still have several questions out there, so.
We do. Yeah. But I'm not an EU hater. I just wanted a perspective.
Yeah, well, we now have perspective, and that, you know, the same person who wrote you know, some of the answers to our EU questions may have also come up with the "they're great" line for Tony the Tiger.
I don't know. That was just something I thought of.
That was packs of cereal boxes. That was fantastic.
Yeah. Anyway, well, Pete, do you want to give us an update? Do you have your stuff here?
We have a quick update.
A quick update. Okay, hold on. me.
That's amazing. You sounded just like a trumpet. Well, of course, ForceCast fans, it is time for the weekly update for the ForceCast Fantasy Football League, and it continues to be a hotly contested league, and nobody's running away with things, and nobody is falling by the wayside, although Jimmy Mack is making his way towards the first draft pick for next year as he is falling far out of the standings.
I would not expect Jimmy Mack to not perform well.
Well, I think it was a good paper team.
He got all Bears.
He hasn't really motivated them the way that they need to be motivated. And, you know, he's been busy with other things. We understand that. But some of his players are saying, hey, we need an owner. We need a general manager. but anyway, there's some great matchups again this week. And, you know, the front runners, as we've been talking about for the trophy, the vaunted trophy, Obi-Wan's Wampas at 4-1, owned by Brad, and Aluminum Falcons, owned by Luis, at 4-1. They seem to be the front runners, and everybody else is clamoring to catch up with them. And this week is Bounty Hunter Day across the league, and the first 1,000 fans at each of the stadiums will receive a free thermal detonator, and of course, the elusive rocket-firing jetpack, which all of the kids will love.
Watch your eyes, kids.
Yes, that courtesy of McChilly. We're looking forward to some more hotly contested matchup this week. And just as a side note, I did eke out a victory over Jedi Schwa. 2 points on the very last play of the night, I believe. And it was quite the pathetic the pathetic matchup. It was, you know, what would happen if, you know, C-3PO and Jar Jar Binks got in a boxing match. Who would win?
Well, there you go. That is your update for the ForceCast Fantasy Football League for this week. We do have the outrageous, unthinkable story coming your way right now.
It's unthinkable.
That's right, the outrageous, unthinkable Star Wars story of the week. And, I don't even want to talk about this one. This is, the headline...
It is unthinkable.
Well, but the headline is just so rude, you know.
it puts it right into perspective.
Basically, friends, if you can't, as a Star Wars fan, it's a huge community, but it's also a very small community. And you do something stupid, you know, like talk about Star Wars for 2 hours every week, like we do. But if you do something silly, make a mistake, people are going to find out.
Yeah.
Because of the way the interweb works with all the tubes, people are going to find out very quickly. So here's the headline. Ugly man takes Han's place in Carbonite. And here's what we've got.
It's just
I'm sorry, the guy's face. In one of the saddest, and I'm quoting here from the blog, in one of the saddest turn of events I have read recently, some guy managed to secure a direct casting of Han Solo and Carbonite from the original prop. This is probably the Elusive Concepts life-size replica. Then he had the face sawed off and replaced with a mold of his. This is in no way, shape, or form cool at all. He says, what was this guy thinking? You have an iconic piece of one of the best movies of all time, and you go and literally deface it. He probably has the Holy Grail chalice from Indiana Jones and Last Crusade 2, but decided it wasn't cool enough and had to glue some plastic rhinestones on it and write pimp juice on the side with puffy paint.
That's awful.
And so they have a photo of the guy, and... a close-up of the world's ugliest Star Wars film.
that's a little bit much, but unfortunately, yeah. And you put anyone in carbonite, they're just not going to look really all that spectacular.
No, even Harry Ford doesn't look great.
Right.
Who am I kidding? He still looks gorgeous. Harrison Ford.
Kind of looks like Napoleon Dynamite.
Actually, yes, the guy does. Not so Harrison Ford.
So you guys want to, maybe put me in carbonite?
Carbonite's like my favorite
element. That would be
awesome. Anyway.
I have carbonite skills.
So the guy, I don't know what he was thinking. Like, to me, it would be much cooler to take, friends down in my basement or in my Star Wars room or whatever and say, hey, look at this. And that's almost cool. But to have your own, to go to the trouble and the time and the money to take this item that probably cost, well over $1,000.
Oh, yeah.
And put your own face on it. It's like stuff that dictators do. Dictators always yes. have posters and pictures yes. of themselves everywhere.
I'm
sure
Kim Jong Il has.
Actually, this kind of looks like Kim Jong Il.
It might be. He may have. That may be who it is.
We'll have the link on our show notes. But for now, it's certainly.
It's outrageous.
And.
It's unthinkable.
There you have it. The outrageous, unthinkable clip of the week. If you've got one, send it to us at podcast@theforce.net. We'd love to hear it.
It's unthinkable.
Well, what do you know? We've got some indie news for you this week. Nothing earth-shattering, really.
No, not really.
But nonetheless, indie news. This came in from Kramer. Got an email from Kramer stating, hey, guys, instead of watching the usual Saturday morning cartoons today, I'm still in bed watching The Adventures of Young Indiana Jones on the History Channel, where the past Lucasfilm television venture comes alive. It's on at 7 a.m. here in New York, and will be on again tomorrow, Sunday, at 8 a.m. on History International. Very, very cool. He says this must be pre-DVD release promotion, Misa thinks. So thank you, Kramer, for that. I'll probably start DVRing these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I missed it when it was on. We've talked about this on the show. So if you're not going to, really what it is, I think rather than take the plunge and buying the DVD right away, I kind of want to make sure that it's worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, really. What,
right.
I mean, I'm a fanboy, but those DVDs are going to be expensive.
They certainly are.
And they look like nice sets, but, So I want to catch up a little bit on History Channel and say, oh, yeah, this is something I have to own.
Can't we write those off as research or something like that?
That would be if we got paid to do
this. Oh, that's right.
See, there's always that.
There's that catch.
That's the rub. But anyway, so thanks to Kramer for alerting us to that. Steven Spielberg, after he was pretty irate at the theft, and rightly so, the theft of his computer with all of the images from Indiana Jones 4 and quite possibly a copy of the script, he decided, and this is very, very cool, to have an impromptu luncheon with online media. I know ComingSoon.net was a part of that, and IESB.net was part of that. So we'll have a link on our show notes to the transcripts and some of the clips that are available. But as far as Lucas news, it was interesting that Spielberg said no to Lucas, who encouraged him to shoot Indy 4 digitally. We know he's not a fan. He's been on the record as saying he's just not a fan of shooting digitally. He thinks that film is meant to be a very organic thing. There's something that happens as soon as the image hits the celluloid or whatever, and it's something that cannot be reproduced digitally, says he. And who's to argue with Spielberg?
Yeah.
Lucas, that's who.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, it's again, it goes back to that Kevin Smith story of them sitting at Thanksgiving dinner going, I like digital. I don't like it. I think you should do it. No, I don't want to do it. And that,
let's look at each other's websites now.
Yeah, let's spend 2 hours looking at our websites. Where digital is better.
Well, MTV caught up with George Lucas at his AFI screening of Star Wars. We talked about that on a couple weeks or a couple shows ago. And it just got, apparently, according to Mike over at TFN, right to the point with questions about Indy 4. And there's a video and a write-up over at MTV.com. And, you know, Lucas is going on record basically saying this is going to be the best Indy film since Raiders.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, I thought was interesting only from the standpoint that, you know, you and I have gone out and said we really enjoy Last Crusade,
right,
as our favorite.
Yeah.
But there's certainly a special place, I'm sure, for him for Raiders. And
well, he wrote it in Hawaii, I think, was the story. So, yeah, that would be a special place.
Yeah.
You know, you just finished making, like, one of the biggest movies of all time, and you move on to the next biggest movie of all time, or one of them.
This being said, where we record from the Palatial Studios in your basement. The source of our inspiration. Not quite Hawaii, my
not
friend.
Not quite. Not quite. So a little bit of Indy 4 news for you. There will be more and more coming. And we've been kind of toying around with the idea of, I don't know, maybe spinning our Indy news off into its own show. I want to get some feedback, so send us an email at podcast@theforce.net. We got an email from somebody saying, you know what, I love your show, but I hate the Indy 4 news. And, you know, you can't please everybody, but I know that there's a number of people out there that really like the Indy 4 news.
Yeah.
What are they saying on the chat, Pete? I'm sure the Jawas have something to say about this.
Eric said that it would be a good idea.
Oh, Eric said it would be a good idea. Well.
Yeah. And he said he is not an Indy fan, but he would still listen, which is awesome.
Eric said it. There's your indie news. We've got some collecting news coming your way.
A fine addition to my collection.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
He's worth a lot to me.
Action figures each sold separately.
Well, some little news and some big news,
yeah.
I think, in collecting. I wish that, I don't see, is Curto with us this week?
I haven't seen him yet, so.
Let's see. Is he here? Checking it out. Boy, we got a lot of folks. What's going on with North Central Kentucky in the chat?
Hey, they
signed up like 15 times. Are they actually here? You know, they only have to sign up once.
Right. Well, hey, you know.
Hey, whatever.
The more people in there, the better it looks for us. So
yeah.
Well,
maybe
as many times as you want.
Maybe it's folks from the Kentucky Star Wars Collectors Club.
There you go.
Just making sure that we do the mention that we promised them.
They're thinking it might be a bug. But hey, what are you going to do?
Well, anyway, we got an email from a good friend of ours, Paul, of Paul and Athena fame. Good friends of us and work with the Stan and John from the Art of Ralph McQuarrie. And Paul just said, hey, I got an email today from the UK Forbidden Planet site, and I figured I should give you guys a heads up if you haven't seen these. He says, what am I saying? Dan probably has the unpainted missile-firing prototype.
Of course he does.
He says, behold the magnificence that is Star Wars Ducks. And I clicked through. Have you seen these, Pete?
I did after I got the email. They're outstanding.
They are so cool. And what they are, they're called, I don't really know what they are. They're
glow
rubber
ducks.
Duckies. Yeah, glow ducks. But they've got some that have a Star Wars theme. There's Luke Pondwalker. There's the Pond Trooper. There's Princess Leia. I haven't figured that one out. Leia. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, where was my mind?
Duck Fader. You missed Duck Fader.
Duck Fader. Yeah. These, you know, they're kind of like the Momokos.
Yeah.
And kind of like those. What did I like? And you gave me a hard time because I liked them. Those.
Oh, those.
The Russian stackable dolls.
Yeah, those dolls.
I really dug those. Now, I didn't buy them, but these I think I might have to get. I've always kind of, you know, the rubber ducky things are kind of cool. And Star Wars rubber duckies.
Yes.
How cool is that?
Yeah, and they have some very cool ones.
Oh, they have Duck
there.
Bond. I like that.
Duck Bond, and they have the Reservoir Ducks set, which is very cool.
They're very cool, and they're just rubber duckies, but they've got, you know, they're obviously done up to look like Star Wars characters, and they've got the theme. So thank you very much to Paul for sending us that link, because now my wife hates you, Paul, but I love you because, you know, bath time is going to be, as Ernie said famously, lots of fun. Rubber ducky,
you're the one.
I'm awfully fond of you. Do you know the rest of the
I do.
But we do have some sad news here. This was posted over at rebelscum.com. They were basically talking about the case assortments and, mm-hmm. the case lots and the figures that make them up. But towards the end, big news. Here's the big news. According to reader here, John, say John, only one out of about 8 Walmarts will be getting new waves of Star Wars figures when they're scheduled. Some lower volume stores will get stuff in the off season. Basically, he says they have too many stores and Hasbro cannot produce enough figures to fill all the pegs at Walmarts and Targets at the same time, so Walmart is sending all the newest waves into their A stores. This is directly from a Hasbro rep, he says. I found meandering mindlessly in a figure aisle at my local Walmart. She also stated something about Walmart has restocking problems, too. Not sure what that is about. For all of you out there wondering what Walmart considers their A stores, it's the newer store, super centers that do about 400,000 per day or more. Some people call them focus stores. In them, you'll find McFarlane and DC superheroes and Justice League stuff, blah, blah, blah. So, Walmart may not be the place, depending on where you live. Now, we're fortunate. We have a couple of Walmart power stores, or what they would call the focus stores,
yeah,
in our area.
At least within within a pretty close, yeah, distance. But it's amazing to me. But I also can see the dilemma. I mean, again, that like someone said in the chat room, there's like 4,837,000 Walmarts. So, you know, the fact that they can't
right,
keep
that's
them
true.
Continuously stocked is kind of an understanding, and it just makes the hunt a little more difficult. And I'm sure it doesn't affect you, as you are now case purchaser.
Well, I mean, it affects me from the standpoint that I haven't found any of the Galacticon figures, any of the gold coins. I haven't seen one. Now, you just told me before we started the show tonight that you've seen your first, which was a Mace Windu. I've seen none.
Yeah, and it just that one swinging on the peg, and I could only assume that. Well, it was actually, it was one of those things where I saw a scalper, and there's nothing worse than feeling like you came in second to a scalper,
mm-hmm.
and got up there. So, it was just really...
You could just tell the dude was a scalper?
Well, I saw what he had in his hands. Uh-huh. I mean, he not only had, you know, all the rarest Star Wars figures, including a gold coin one, which I couldn't tell what it was, but I could see the gold right. in the package. But he also had stuff from Justice League and from WWF and just all sorts of different things.
He just had that look.
And he had that look.
Yeah,
he wasn't shopping for himself.
Yeah.
He was shopping, you know, to
You can just
resell
tell.
It. Yeah,
I know there are people out there listening that are saying, well, he could have just been a collector. But yeah, you can tell. You know him when you see him. You know, it's like, well, never mind. It's another thing. You know it when you see it. So, you know, maybe we can get Dan Curto. He's going to be premiering his collecting microcast, which I'm really excited about. And who knows? It may not even be a microcast. It may be a macrocast. It just may be collecting with Curto, Captain Curto's collectibles, comics, cards, and Curto. Who knows what it's going to be? But I'm excited. I mean, it's very cool because I can't wait to listen to this thing every day.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to get my collecting news.
Right. So he's toying around with the idea. I mean, I think he's doing more than toying around with it. I think he definitely wants to do it.
Yeah.
But that'll be premiering, hopefully, later on this fall, or maybe even into winter. Who knows? Maybe around the holiday times. We'll see.
We'll see.
But I'm excited about it.
Yes.
That's for sure. One little last bit of collecting news. No official photos yet, according to Dan Curto. But the Target exclusive... This Target exclusive has been uncovered in our forums, a Rancor with Rider. Now you're saying a Rancor with Rider? Well, you know, they released the exclusive, the Bantha.
Mm-hmm.
And they had two different versions. They had the light haired version and the darker haired version. And of course, this is a repack of the Beast collection from going way back, where you could actually stick your finger in the box and be like, ooh, real creepy skin and
yeah.
real creepy hair. So you're thinking to yourself, well, it's natural that they would re-release their Rancor, but with a Rider? Well, but this is going to be for the Force Unleashed.
That's Force Unleashed.
So, and you know, we've seen some of the concept work over the you know, the past year over at StarWars.com, so it makes sense.
And we know there's going to be at least one big scene where you're going to have to take on some Rancors and
right.
and take them out.
Right. I will not be. I'll be watching you do it.
It'll be exciting for you, I promise.
Right. I'm sure it will. Well, that's pretty much going to do it for collecting. We had a chance to catch up with, or I did rather, last night with Jimmy Mack to talk a little bit about his unbelievable, unthinkable span of a couple of weeks hanging out with not only Anthony Daniels but Billy Dee Williams, being in the same city as GWL. Not getting a chance to see George, but just hearing, you know, here and there about where he was and what he was doing, and a couple of different conventions and Dan Madsen and all kinds of exciting things happening to Jimmy. So I caught up with him last night, and we talked about all kinds of things. So here's that interview, and Pete and I will be back here towards the end of the show with maybe your comments or questions. Jimmy Mack and me. All right, we got Jimmy Mack on the train, on his cell phone. So if I don't know, what are we going to hear from the train there in Chicago?
We can hear not much. People Everything's getting, pretty quiet.
Oh, I thought we'd maybe hear people getting stabbed or who knows.
Oh, no. No. Not on the Metro line. At least not right now.
Well, Jim, thanks for taking a moment to talk to us.
Sure.
So you've had what I was saying earlier to you, just a whirlwind week or couple weeks of Star Wars nonstop. I mean, in addition to just doing your regular duties on the Force Cast, you had the opportunity to catch up with a couple of major Star Wars actors. First Anthony Daniels and then Billy Dee. Was this all part of tied to the same event, or were these just two different coincidences?
Yeah, it was two different things. Anthony was in town for the museum opening of Where Science Meets Imagination. And he actually had a lot to do with the production of that whole thing. And his presence is all over it. He was in town along with Jan Crocker from the museum in Boston, the Museum of Science out there. And she's the one who actually developed the exhibit. And they were in town just doing the rounds, and I was lucky enough to snag a considerable amount of time with Anthony. And he was really cool. He was real relaxed, and he was very nice. And, you know, as you heard, he was forthcoming with a lot of information. And we just had a good time. And the next day, I was lucky enough to actually go to the museum and have a private walkthrough of the whole thing, which was fantastic. I was in there for, 2 hours, just taking pictures and videotaping everything. And I'll tell you, when you're in that exhibit and you notice that you're by yourself for about 10, 15 minutes, you really start thinking about jumping into that land speeder.
Well,
but I didn't do it. For the record, I did not do it. And, I mean, they were still actually putting the finishing touches on the exhibit as I was hanging out in there. And Anthony was walking through a few times, too, with various members of the media, giving them interviews and everything, too. And he nodded at me a couple times.
Well,
Tony, I call him. Tony,
right, TD.
Yeah, you know.
The message boards here, you know, the forums at rebelscum.com, and of course the email response to the Anthony Daniels interview has been amazing. I just want to say hats off to you. It seems as though this has really been an interview that has resonated with folks, and one that they're going to remember for a long time. And there were a number of things, Jim, that you kind of brought up that really we hadn't, as Star Wars fans, heard discussed in an interview with Anthony Daniels, and one of those being the fact that you credited him, rightly so, for not only creating the role of C-3PO, but in his reactions, created the role of R2-D2. And
I'm sorry, Jason, repeat that?
Yeah, I was just going to say he seemed genuinely touched. And that you said that or gave him that kind of credit.
You know, it was a nice moment as I was walking him out. He said that in all the 30 years, no one has ever said that to him. And he wanted to respond to it in a way that was you know, didn't make him sound like he was full of himself. And I thought he handled it very well, as he did most of the compliments that I paid him. But I felt pretty good about that, you know, about throwing that at him and just seeing how he would respond to it. And the thing that was nice about it, I'm sorry, I'm kind of moving around here on the train and talking
to you guys.
I hope you guys can hear me okay.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you great.
Okay, great. But it was just, the thing that was nice about it was he had said to me several times, and he also said to the other people he was with, that he was really pleased with the fact that I did all my homework leading up to our conversation. And I was like, hey, you know, I've been doing that homework for 30 years. What are you talking about? Just to have the quality time with someone of his caliber was the best.
I'm
glad you enjoyed it.
You know, it's very obvious that he did, and so did, you know, our listeners. The feedback on it has been tremendous. Just if you had to kind of sum up, and you got to check out the microcast in the cantina with Anthony Daniels, available at DeForest.net and Rebel Scum. But Jim, if you had to just kind of sum up your time with Anthony Daniels, just in general, how did he strike you, and what will you always remember?
I'll always remember the fact that he had an answer for everything. And when you're talking to someone in that capacity, that's what you're looking for. You don't want yes and no answers. And he is very sharp. He's very proper at the same time. While he still has a side to him that you could tell is kind of wild, that might be kind of, you know, he's not afraid to break the rules every once in a while. And it's an amazing balancing act he does. He's a really talented guy. He's a real personable guy. He seems like he's got all the confidence in the world, too. I got to tell you that. So those are some factors. But then, you know, the fanboy part of me is just the fact that I was able to talk to, you know, someone who created such an indelible character on the screen, and not only just say hi to him and ask a few questions, but to be able to, you know, actually hang out with him over the course of 3 days was amazing.
So, well, fun. And then if that wasn't enough, not long after that, you got time to sit down with one of the Force cast's favorites, Billy D. The one,
yes.
The only Billy D. And I know that, you know, you've run into Billy D from time to time at some of the conventions, and you've had a couple minutes with him here and there, but never to the extent that you were able to this past week. And again, that's available as a microcast. What was that like?
Well, that came as a surprise. I was not prepared for that. And what had happened was Friday morning, Dan Manson was in town, and he and Chris Mocked picked me up at my home, and we went over to go see Anthony Daniels at the museum. He wanted to see Dan. He was really thrilled to find out Dan was in town, and I promised him I would take him to opening day at the exhibit, and they can say hi to each other. So we got there, and the meeting happened with Anthony and Dan, and it was really great. And there was a lot of, you could tell that they're very fond of each other and they're old friends. And there was a lot of people there and some television crews and whatnot, and Anthony went off to do his thing. He was really working the room, too. I mean, he was just going up to anyone and everyone and granting interviews and everything. Now, I was with Dan, and for those who don't know, Dan Manson, he's the guy who came up with, he's the force behind Insider Magazine and all that stuff. And he's a little guy. He's a little person. Mm-hmm. And people were coming up to him to get his autograph, and they were handing him pictures of Jawas and R2 and stuff. And Dan was more than happy to oblige. This is true. After a few minutes, though, of this, my phone rang, and it was one of my producers who told me that the man, Billy D, was going to be in the studio, and she says, "Where are you? Get over here." So I said to Dan and Chris, you know, I hate to cut this short, but, you know, I got to get back to work because I have something going on. And they were, by this point, Dan was getting a little tired of signing autographs, so he just, he was ready to go.
Yeah.
And so hurried back, got in there, and right in time for him to arrive. He did his thing on our airwaves, and then I was able to get him to sit down with me and hang out with me for half an hour in the studio, and that was a lot of fun. And here's the great part. I didn't tell you guys this. When we left, I'm in downtown Chicago, and I'm right by a big park called Millennium Park. Mm-hmm. And it's a newer park. Right in downtown Chicago, it used to be a railroad yard. And I guess Billy had never seen it before. And so he wanted to go out there and check it out. And he asked me to walk him over there. So I did. And it was funny because I was walking by people that I knew, and I just kind of, you know, say out of the corner of my mouth, hey, I'm with Billy D. Williams. And they're like, what? And then, you know, sure enough, he'd be, you know, coming out the revolving door right behind me. So this past week, the weather in Chicago is like record-setting heat for October. And we walked outside, and Billy D. looked at me, and he said, it's terribly warm outside. I hope I don't perspire. And I said, are you kidding me? Do you even know how to sweat? You're Billy D. You're always cool. Now, here's the best part. I walked him over to the park, and he had a small entourage of his business manager and her daughter, who was this great girl. I mean, she was so nice, 10-year-old kid, and another business partner. And I walked him over to the park, and I decided, you know, they'd had their fill of me, and I'd get out of there. So when I said goodbye, shook hands with everybody, but when I got to Billy D., he wrapped me up in an embrace. big hug from the man. And so, you know, I hope some of that coolness rubbed off on me a little bit.
Well, it was a great interview. And, you know, every time, you know, you sit down with Billy D or you see him, hear him talking out of character, just Billy D., you can understand why he's sort of just had this reputation and this career as just the guy that's just cooler than cool. And yeah. when you ask him questions about the real world, he's just got such a great philosophy. I mean, he's an artist. He just takes everything in stride, believes there's a reason for everything. And some great stories. I love the way you had him open up about some of his previous film work. He even commented on Agent 00 Soul.
I had to.
Yeah.
It's, you know what? I've met him now. It's been 3 times, and every time I bring up that stupid film, and every time I get a different answer out of him. But I think he was his most honest this time. When he told me what he really thought of it.
Right. Well, and you know, the thing that I do like too about Billy D is, you know, he has ended up as a very recognizable, you know, even we could even say iconic figure in the Star Wars universe. And he almost underplays his importance in Star Wars. He's very reluctant to give himself a lot of credit, but you know, like many characters in the Star Wars universe, he didn't have to be on the screen that long to make the impression that he made. And
Oh yeah. His time on screen definitely had a big impact on just the resonance of both the films, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that was a thrill. I mean, that was an absolute thrill. And, I mean, it just didn't stop there. You know, you think it would. But it just didn't stop. Friday, my day went by, did my normal business. And then Chris and Dan returned to the studio. We went out to dinner, had some good old-fashioned deep-dish Chicago-style pizza, went back up to the studio, and laid down a little interview with Dan Manson. And that'll be coming on a microcast soon.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Follow that up with, there were two cons in town over the weekend. Dan was appearing at one. The other one, I was able to find some time to attend. And there were a bunch of, good interviews to be had there, too. And those will also be coming out on Microcast. As a matter of fact, today we debuted the Microcast with LucasArts ILM Vader actor C. Andrew Nelson, who who was a great guy, and that's a microcast you really want to check out too, because he has some fantastic Star Wars stories and was able to take a little bit of quality time sitting down with me. So microcast, they're coming at you fast and furious. I was joking around with you guys while we've been emailing each other back and forth about this week, and it was like, you know, Chicago is the epicenter of all things Star Wars this week. And it was true. George himself was actually in town. He was he visited the Museum of Science and Industries, Star Wars for Science. What's the name? I always forget it. Let's talk that to your imagination.
Yes, right. Where science, Star Wars, where science meets imagination.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I got.
I understand that George's, the lady in George's life, is a board member of the museum. So I'm sure that helped get him there. What do you know about his appearance there? Did he spend much time with the press, or was he kind of shuttled in and out quickly, or not a whole lot of notice given to the media?
Right. Exactly. As a matter of fact, the museum was really trying to downplay the fact that he was coming by, and I had asked him about it, and they didn't really extend me an invite, and I wasn't about to crash the thing, even though I knew he was going to be there. As far as I could tell, there was two exclusive interviews, one for newspaper, one for TV, and both of those were arranged through Lucasfilm prior, and there was a little write-up about it in the Chicago Sun-Times, a great picture of George with Melody in the front of the exhibit. And she says things are going great with him, and she's a really smart, successful businesswoman here in town. And she's also on Good Morning America as a consultant of some type. They put on camera and ask her questions about whatever she does. I'm not even really sure.
Finance, I believe. Finance. She's a finance consultant.
Aerial management. Thank you. Oh. Look at that. Chick on the train knows what I'm talking about. She's listening in. Hey, subscribe to the Forcecast with your iPad, iTunes. She just tweeted me off. No, just kidding. Melody Hobson. So you heard it right there. Financial consulting on Good Morning America.
Right.
Wow.
Well, was there any big news out of? I haven't had a chance, and by the time we actually record the Forcecast this week, I'll have had a chance, hopefully, to digest those stories. But off the top of your head, was there anything big? Did he drop any big bombs to us in these interviews that he did while he was in town?
Yeah, the only thing he mentioned is that Indiana Jones number 4 will be wrapping up its shooting schedule soon. He plans to be out there for the last week of shooting to assist Steven with any last minute things. And, we know what we know about the Clone Wars moving forward. Not much, of course, to be said about the live action show as usual. that's about it. It seemed like there was some photo ops there. He talked briefly to Bill Zwecker from the Chicago Sun-Times, but that's the pretty much extent of the press I've seen coming out of his appearance at the Museum of Science and Industry. A friend of mine called me and told me that he was seen exiting the Escalade and going into the movie theaters on Friday, this past Friday, for the Chicago Film Festival. Also, Allie Larder Heroes was there as well. That's the extent of the George information coming out of Chicago this week.
Well, still, it's been an amazing couple of weeks, and thanks to you, Jim, you truly have left no fan behind with your coverage of Star Wars as it converged onto Chicago, both with Anthony, Billy D, Dan Madsen, and a host of others at these various events. It's been amazing. Looking forward to hearing what you have left. And again, if you haven't had a chance to check out Jimmy's microcasts, they're of course available at through the feed on iTunes and rebelscum.com and the force.net, of course. So check those out. Jim, thank you so much, buddy.
It's my pleasure as always. I love talking to you, Jason, and to all the Forcecast fans, and I'm more than happy to share, and we're not going to stop. We're just going to keep going. If anyone's around and I got a microphone, we're talking. So Thanks again, and you know, it's so much fun as always.
All right, thanks a lot. Well, there you have it, Jimmy Mack talking about his great whirlwind couple of weeks as Star Wars converged on Chicago. Very cool.
I don't know how that guy does it, man.
I don't know either.
He doesn't sleep. We know that's how he does it.
We've got your feedback and questions live via TalkShoe.com coming your way right now.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Doctor. The message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
And it looks like we have a couple of people in the queue that want to ask some questions. They're so nice. You know, they wait until the end of the show. Even though we tell them, you can interrupt us, they still wait to the end of the show. And then they get on the chat and they're like, what should I say? Well, you can say anything. You can ask us anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're first on the Forcecast. Hello, hello, hello. You are on with the Forcecast.
Hello.
Yes.
I have two questions for you guys.
All right.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say I love the show.
Thank you.
Every week. My first question is, I'm interested in getting into action figures.
Uh-huh.
But I don't really know what to pick up. Like, the 2008 line, I saw there was Wave 1 and then Wave 1 Revision 2. I was wondering if you could just sort of explain to me what all those mean.
Well, what happens is, I mean, the best, and I'm certainly not an expert in anything, but I basically what happens is that Hasbro releases the figures in waves, and within those waves there are case assortments, and so you'll have wave one, and then usually they'll revise, and they'll sort of mix other figures in, trying to get a certain sampling of specific characters out, you know, at any given time that you have... A kind of a mixture of, you know, characters that collectors want and characters that, you know, your average fan wants and characters that little kids want and that sort of thing. So they revise the case assortments throughout the wave. So you get maybe, I don't know, sometimes I've seen up to three different revisions with a particular wave. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. And then my other question is, at C4... at one of the booths, I picked up a old record, like a vinyl, that was Star Wars Rebel Mission to Ord Mantell. Like, there was a story. And I was wondering if you know if there are any more of those, because I really enjoyed it.
This was, you're talking, did it come with a cassette, or it came with a record?
It was a vinyl.
Oh, it was vinyl.
Like an LP.
Okay. Yeah, an LP. Wow, an LP. So, not a little 45.
Nope.
Okay. Well, I had one that was called, gosh, what was it? The Ewoks Join the Fight, I think it was.
Yes.
And it was basically the story of the Battle of Endor, which, you know, it wasn't a unique story or whatever, like what you're talking about. Are there any more of them? That sounds like a question for Sir Steve Sansweet in the Star Wars Insider.
Even our very own Jay Shepard, I bet he has a pretty good idea.
Yeah,
about what's going on there. So I'll track down Jay and see if
we'll see if we can find out for you. I'm sure Jay will be listening to the show when it goes up this week. So I, you know, wouldn't be surprised.
Well, we don't know the answer, but we can at least find the person that does. So
right. We'll
make sure we do it. Now before you go, I have a question. Now your sign on in the chat is Feline Fan number one. Where's that come from?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Prince Caesar is the man. He's my favorite character.
Well, there you go. And
wow.
I'll bet he's in the Atlas,
the Empire,
too.
All the way.
All right, man. That's cool. So out of the entire Star Wars universe, Caesar is the one for you.
Well, you tell me. If you had the power to release pheromones that would influence women, think about it.
Well, you know I do.
Oh,
yeah, well, you know, there'd be shows about you if you could do stuff like that. You'd be
Feline. I got one thing to say to you.
You got a real problem.
No, I love that. I love that.
That's great. That's
great. I love this guy. He doesn't want force powers. He just wants to release pheromones so the chicks dig him. I love it. A true Star Wars fan. That's fantastic. Thank you very much. Thanks for calling in, man. Anything else you have on your mind?
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. We've got, I think this is Eric, actually.
Is this Eric?
Eric, you are live on the Forcecast.
Yes,
hello. Hey. Thanks for the YouTube clip, man.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
What's going on? What's on your mind?
I have a couple of things. First, I'd like to say, in reference to Fallon fan number one's comment, when you think about it, Billy Dee is kind of like a Fallon.
He is. Right. If there's a human that comes anywhere close, it's Billy Dee.
Right.
Billy Dee and maybe Tom Jones.
Yeah.
Sorry. Tom Jones. I got to throw that out there. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
I have a couple of questions for you guys, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
First question is, for Halloween, are you guys dressing up?
Well, I have to tell you, Pete and I have toyed around with this idea. We're not going to do it this year. We may bust this out for C5 because we've got time to prepare. But we've been toying around with the idea of a certain Star Wars costume. And I'll give you a little hint. I'm sort of shorter in stature than Pete. So, I've always wanted to dress up as Yoda for Halloween. And, I think that it's kind of hard to put. If we can pull it off, I would like to do Luke in training on Dagobah with Yoda on his back and me as Yoda.
Wow.
And Pete as Luke, if we could pull it off, we need a really big pair of pants.
Yes.
So we can both get into the same pair of pants. I have conceptual sketches.
Yes, this has been in the making for quite some time.
Right.
So when we finally get it up and running, we hope it'll be worth all the weight.
Yes. Yes. So that's kind of our dream costume. But Pete does a mean Darth Maul.
Pete knows about this, or if he has a choice.
What would you say?
If I have a choice in the matter.
Some people want to know if Pete has a choice in the matter.
Well, you know,
yeah.
I'm okay with the idea. You know that you know we've.
Now, don't know, make anything dirty out of it.
Yeah, this isn't anything.
We just thought
terrible.
It would be funny.
You know, we're not wearing the same pair of pants. It's just a matter of, you know, we have to create the illusion. So, you know, there's multiple layers in here, and so
yeah.
So we're all set. So
yeah,
I'm not concerned about it. I will make a great Luke, and Jason will make a great Yoda.
Right,
if everything works out.
And then I have two questions from people in the chat. If that's okay.
Sure, yep. Go ahead.
All right. First, they were wondering if, since it's on a Wednesday this year, Halloween, if maybe you would do a video episode in costume.
Yeah, if they show us how.
We're still trying to figure that out. But
Well, we have some idea. We can't promise that we'll get this done for this Halloween. Or for Halloween. We have some ideas that we think would be fun to do, but it takes a lot of, you know, preparation time, and if we can come up with something cool for this Halloween, we'll definitely do it. But we'll leave it at that for right now.
The Jawas have said if we just go to their house, they'll make sure they get us up and squared away in video.
Sure, so, no problem. Yeah. So what else did you have?
And then I guess my third question was about, it wasn't really per se about the Forcecast, but since you guys might know this, I was wondering if you guys know about any new or updated Halloween costumes for Star Wars characters. Someone was asking if there might be any new characters made into costumes.
You know what? Being a non-movie year,
I would say there's probably not much as far as retail goes.
No, I think it's a lot of reissues from the last couple of years since Revenge of the Sith. I know that Ruby's has repackaged some of their older costumes, you know, with the Revenge of the Sith package design. You know, Halloween costumes are interesting. I mean, I don't know if you all have Spencer's Gifts where you all live, but, you know, I've been going to Spencer's Gifts since I was, you know, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, and they've had the same costumes there for, you know, for the last 15, 20 years. So Halloween costumes don't change all that much. I mean, they still got the same, you know, cast of characters. because, you know, they can only sell pretty much like one time a year.
Yeah.
So in a movie year, you get a big push, and they do, you know, they've got the money to put into it. But in non-movie year, it's going to be tough. It'll be interesting to see if The Force Unleashed takes off to the point where you actually get any costumes. I know that there have been some Prince Shizor masks that came out, and that was an EU campaign. So I don't know what the future holds. This year, I haven't seen anything new.
No, it's all Vader. It's all...
The dog costumes look great.
Yeah, that was mentioned in the chat, that there's more costumes for dogs than there are for people, so...
Ruby's has a great website, so get over there to Ruby's. They have the license for
and to be honest, the most fun is to make your own if you can.
Yeah,
if you know. Although I will say that I know there was a question of way early on about what was the worst costume that you and I have seen, and again, hands down, it goes to our friend Darth Kmart, who wore a pair of khakis, a belt, a white T-shirt, and a cape. That basically looked like an old towel that he had tied together
with a clothespin.
And that was in one of those ultra geek moments that we had. So, that one was tough to swallow. And my friend that was riding around on the Segway at the Where Science Meets Imagination, that was a terrible costume too. Although I don't think he was trying to do a costume. I think that was just his thing. Yeah, I think he wears that to work every single day. So, but
Darth Kmart, definitely.
Yeah. So if you can make your own, or you know, if you're like me and you have your mom do it, maybe we can get a shirtless Palpatine.
I was just thinking that there should be,
what's that?
There should be a Theo Bibble or maybe a shirtless Palpatine costume.
It's unthinkable. You beat me to it.
Shirtless Palpatine. Exactly. I was going to say that would be my next guy. Oh, boy. I'm never going to live that one down. Again, it's not a desire. Hey, we better give away our copy of Battlefront, courtesy of LucasArts. Anything else, Eric?
Oh, no, that's it. Thank you very much.
Hey, no problem, man. Thank you very much.
This time we're going to mute him
before
put him back on.
Right. We got everybody. Well, we got somebody else here in the queue. Who do we got in the queue? You are on with the Forcecast. Hello. We're going to give away a free copy of Battlefront Renegade Squadron.
Hi, guys.
Hey, who's this?
Hey, guys. This is Danny.
Hey, Danny. What's happening?
Danny.
Oh, Danny, we went over 90 minutes. Are you upset?
Just do it. Oh, just to answer, I think it was Fallen Fan number one's question about the Ord Mantell. It was a radio play, actually, so he was wondering if you could buy some other official audio dramas. There's obviously the movie audio drama that you can buy. There's a Dark Empire audio drama that's official. There's Tale of the Jedi audio drama that's official. Even the Dark Forces audio drama, which is one of my favorite available. And also there's a lot of fan-made audio drama that you can find on the web. And there's a site, StarWarsFanWorks.com, where you can find a lot of fan-made audio drama that are very well-made. So,
well, that's good.
I hope this answers his question.
Yeah, Danny, thank you very much for that. When he was asking about it, I was picturing, you know, the old read-along books. That's what I thought he was referring to. I didn't realize that he was actually referring to the audio dramas, of course. And you've kind of opened my eyes. I didn't realize that there were all those. Of course, I knew about the film adaptations.
But they're available on CD now.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
And see, just
they're
like,
available on CD now. So,
just like usual, you know, when we don't know the answer, which is unfortunately quite often, there's somebody out there who's going to know the answer for us. And this time we got it right away. So thanks, Danny. We really appreciate it.
All right, Danny. Thank you very much.
No problem.
We're going
to talk to you next time.
All right. Next time, buddy. Thank you. We've got just a few more minutes here. We're going to give away a copy courtesy of LucasArts, Star Wars Battlefront Renegade Squadron for the PSP, the new game that's sweeping the nation now. Unfortunately, we don't have one of those handy dandy new PSP units that has the Darth Vader on it, or the really cool Han and Carbonite case. Have you seen this thing? That's very cool. But anyway, we do have the game. So here is the question. What was the question? What were we going to ask? Oh, yes, Billy D. Billy D. Okay. If you listen to the Billy D microcast, he talks about a movie in which he played legendary Pro Football Hall of Famer Gil Sayers. Gail Sayers. If you know the name of that movie, give us a call at 724-444-7444-4444. And the talk shoe ID is 46670. So we're going to give this away. Be the first to call with the name of the movie. I know you're Googling it. Or Billy D. Williams played Gail Sayers, famous sports movie. Makes grown men cry.
I think we have an answer, but...
All right. Here we go. Let's see. Who is it? All right. Do you know the answer to the question? Hello.
Brian? Yeah, hi.
Hey, Eric.
Brian Song?
Yes, it is Brian Song. Is this Eric again? Are you eligible?
Yeah, and this time I was muted, so it was fair game.
That's right. All right. He was completely fair game.
Right, and are you eligible to win? Just say yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yes, you are eligible to win. Actually, we're asking folks because we're going to be giving away stuff just about every week now on the Forcecast, thanks to our good friends. We'll just put it that way. We're going to do it. You got to win. You can only win once every 30 days. Okay, once a month. So, Eric, we're going to send you a copy of Star Wars Battlefront Renegade Squadron, courtesy of LucasArts. Game in stores now. You can listen to our microcast where we interview the producer and the associate producer, or assistant producer, rather, of the game. So, Eric, congratulations. It was Brian Song. Thank you very much. Send us an email, Eric, just to make sure we have your address, okay?
Actually, you don't need to worry about it. I got it.
Oh, Pete's got it, so don't worry about it. All right, man. Thank you very much. Woo-wee, what a show. Lot to do, and we still didn't get everything done that we wanted to do, but nonetheless, we did our best. All right. I want to thank you for joining us this week. Thank you for downloading the show.
What? We forgot the top 10.
Oh! It's going to have to wait till next week.
Oh, it waits till next week.
Oh, well, that'll make you come back. We did forget the top 10. That's there's just so much going on.
See, and they just reminded me of it, and I went, I got it, and then totally forgot about it again.
Oh, sorry about that. We will get the top 10 next week. Don't forget, don't miss that. The top 10 moments in Forcecast history. Courtesy of...
Jedi Schwa.
There we go. Jedi Schwa. And Mrs. Schwa. I'm sure she had something to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, behind every great man, you know what they say. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Thank you especially to those who are listening live on TalkShoe.com. Really appreciate the support. Good questions this week. Tell your friends. Don't keep this show a secret. It's the only way we grow. Send us feedback. You can email us at podcast@theforce.net. Or you can give us a call when we're live at 724-444-7444. And we are always TalkShoe ID 46670. Or, Pete, what's the number? Leave us a voicemail.
It is 330-871-4TFN.
Excellent. And why should they check out the forums?
Because there's always good stuff going on there. And I got to tell you that anybody who isn't a part of their forums and is a little bit hesitant to do it, get over there. It's a great community. They'll welcome you with open arms. They'll bring you in, and you'll have a great time doing it. So there's always fun stuff going on. Make sure you guys check that out, because there's great people there and a lot of really nice people that'll just keep you involved in the Star Wars universe. You'll make great friends.
That is true. That's going to be it for us this week. Love you guys. Thanks for being here for the Forcecast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
Force will be with you always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items, are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC, unless otherwise indicated.
The TalkCast recording has been completed.